Anasha, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've got an important election coming up on November 2nd. And as I started to look through the Board of Elections website for what races were up, it occurred to me that when I moved to this region 8 years ago, and I thought it would be a lot easier to wrap my mind around the politics of a smaller city than Brooklyn, where I came from. And I was really mistaken. Politics and understanding who's running for what and why is a really complicated question. And so I thought, since you have served in local politics, that you might be the perfect person for me to talk to give my listeners, but also me, a little one-on-one on what to expect in November and what to look out for.
Absolutely. Happy to share some of what I've learned over the last few years.
And you're not running again, right? You serve on the Troy City Council?
That's correct. I'm completing my second term on the city council this December and have decided not to seek re-election this year. I'm going to step back a little bit and focus on a couple of issues that are closest to my heart, particularly around the energy transition.
From your perspective, what's at stake on November 2nd for Rensselaer County?
For voters in Rensselaer County and for voters, you know, all over, it really is these local races where you can have the most impact on your day-to-day life. And in this race in particular, there are several local elected bodies that are up for election that can have a really big impact on what happens in the city and the county going forward. The first, of course, is the city council. Most of the city council is up for re-election this year or election. And several, like me, are not running for re-election. So we're likely to get a pretty different council next year. And it's up to voters to decide what that council will look like. Just as important is the Rensselaer County executive race, which will determine how our county moves forward for the next 4 years.
For the most part, in this country and in this state, we are a two-party system. But as I look at what the ballot is going to look like in November, there are a lot of parties here, and they're lining up in very strange ways. The Democrats, Republicans, Conservatives, a W for Working Families Party. And then I see a new Troy Strong Party. And if I go down into the Rensselaer County legislature race, I'm also seeing an independent Rensselaer Party with a candidate who's also running as a Democrat and a Working Families Party member. It is very confusing, even to me. And I understand that there are third party candidates that are challenging the two major parties. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah. So, I guess there are two things going on here. The broadest thing to understand is that New York currently still has a system called fusion voting. It's one of only a few states in the nation that has this. And there are some big benefits and some ways in which it causes a pretty confusing ballot. So the core of what it means is that candidates can be endorsed and supported by multiple parties, and any votes for them on any of those party lines get tallied up at the end. And whoever gets the most votes across any parties where they're endorsed wins the election. And so I don't know that it's that clear, this sort of gamesmanship, what sort of difference it makes, but it may well make some difference in that it confuses voters. So what candidates continue to do is basically try to get on as many lines as possible in the July primaries. And so the core way they do that, of course, is to try to get endorsed. So for example, the Republicans basically always get endorsed by the Conservative Party. It's very rare that the Conservative Party runs its own candidates. They just endorse the Republicans. And so those two lines are basically synonymous, but it means every Republican is automatically on the ballot twice, which can give the sense that they're supported by more different people. I don't know that Republican and Conservative are that different in this day and age. There used to be several other third parties, but in the last couple of years, the state has, largely led by former Governor Cuomo, tried to push a lot of those parties off the ballot, including by changing state law to change what the threshold is for them to be on the ballot. And so that got the Green Party and the Independence Party off the ballot entirely in the last cycle. And so now the WFP is really the only real independent third party left on the ballot. They do their own endorsement process, and this year endorsed several people that the Democratic Party didn't endorse, including Kiani, Marquita Edwards down in District 6, and then three county legislature candidates, Peter Grimm, Cindy Doran, and Nina Nichols. Usually what happens with WFP is that they endorse sort of progressive Democrats who run in a Democratic primary, but also have the backing of the Working Families Party has political infrastructure, it has tools and expertise to help progressive candidates run and win. And they did. They, you know, most of them won. All three of the county legislature candidates won their Democratic primaries. Keani won in District 5, and Marquita got extremely close, heartbreakingly close, with just one vote difference. So if you ever thought your vote matters, it absolutely does in these local races. You know, this is the third or fourth race that I've seen that has come down to one vote in Troy. So if you've ever had a reason to think that it's important to get out and vote, that's it.
You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm speaking with Inasha Cummings, who represents the 4th District on Troy's City Council. We're talking about the upcoming elections and the complicated process of figuring out who's who on the ballot and what they represent. Well, so you referenced that there were two ways to get on the ballot for a third party like the Working Families Party. One is to be endorsed by the party, and the other, I would imagine, is to run in the primary, because the races that you just talked about are races in which the Working Families Party looked at its values, looked at the candidates, and endorsed Marquita Edwards and Keani Conley Wilson and the county legislative candidates. But then you've got a couple of other people who are going to be running on the Working Families Party line in November that were not vetted by the party. And I'm looking at the county clerk race and the county executive race in particular.
No, yeah, that's correct.
What the heck happened there?
So the Republican Party in particular, but both major parties, in their quest to get as many lines as possible, often do some hijinks to undermine those parties. So, you know, as I mentioned, the WFP candidates won most of their Democratic primaries. But in the meantime, the Republicans essentially enrolled several hundred family members, friends, acquaintances into the Working Families Party. So after the other minor parties went away a couple years ago, and this is something they had done to the Green Party for years, they had basically stolen the Green Party through similar tactics. So especially once the Green Party and Independence Party both collapsed in the last election and were kicked off the ballot, many of the people who had been enrolled in independents and green parties were encouraged by political operatives to enroll into the Working Families Party. And so most of the members now of the Working Families Party in Rensselaer County are not necessarily ideological Working Families Party members, but they're people who have enrolled in the Working Families Party for the sole purpose of being able to override the activists and the people doing the work of actually interviewing candidates and choose their own friends and family members to run on the line instead. This year, that process got slightly more confusing during the pandemic. The state basically banned their normal process for doing that, which is called the Wilson Pakula, which is a write-in campaign. However, several of their candidates had already enrolled in the Working Families Party. When you're an enrolled member of the Working Families Party, you can run for the nomination of the Working Families Party, regardless of whether you're registered because you believe in the party or you're registered because you're trying to undermine it. You're able to stand for election in the primary. And so three of the Republican endorsed county legislature candidates were actually enrolled in the Working Families Party and were able to win those seats. And then in order to deny the Working Families Party line to Gwen Wright and to Justin Foster for the county executive and county clerk's race, they ran just sort of random political operatives as straw candidates to steal that line away from them.
With the objective of splitting vote?
Yeah, with the hope that folks will go in November and see the Working Families Party line there and, you know the history of the Working Families Party being a good advocate for progressive change and cast a vote there, which would basically be thrown away. So they're trying to basically get progressive hopeful voters votes not to count by giving them a straw candidate that has no chance of winning, rather than a candidate where their vote would get added to the Democratic total with Gwen Wright or Justin Foster. So yeah, it's incredibly important that voters understand that. Even though these parties are doing really good work building progressive change, it doesn't necessarily mean the candidates that are on that line in November are the candidates that are supported by that party. At this point, the only candidate who is not on the Democratic line, but is actually endorsed by the Working Families Party, is Marquita Edwards. Besides in District 6, where Marquita is continuing to run, and we can talk about that race separately. The Democratic ballot is essentially the most progressive ballot. And because the Working Families Party candidates were mostly successful in their primaries, the Democratic ballot is basically the Working Families ballot. It's largely the candidates that ran under the Working Families Party banner